Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your love and grace in our life. And Lord, we thank you that when we gather here as the body of Christ, Lord, around your word, that you are here with us and that your spirit is guiding us and directing us to your word, to the application of your word, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for a time that we can gather and to just be the church, to grow in the knowledge of grace and truth, to worship you and to lift you up. Lord, as we just sang, Lord, it's a choice that we make to praise you. We choose where our attention will be focused. We choose where we will dwell our mind and our thoughts. And will it be on the things that are unknown to us or the things that seem like difficulties and tragedies that we don't understand? Or will we choose, even in those moments, to dwell our hearts and minds in the praise of you and all that you are? And so, Father, thank you for being faithful to us when we are unfaithful to you. Thank you for being constant and steady and just for your love for us. Father, again, we pray that you'd be glorified and have been glorified, not only in what's been said and sung already, but what will be talked about tonight. And again, pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. We pray that your wisdom would be given to us, Lord, that we would seek it and respond to what you're doing. Father, again, we thank you for today, for this morning, for those that joined this morning, for Dale and Britt Moore. Lord, thank you for their desire to join with our church and to be a part of what you're doing here. And just pray you continue to just bless them in a mighty, mighty way. Father, again, thank you for tonight. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You guys may be seated. So as these guys are seated, I do want to talk about just a couple announcements. And then actually what I'd like to do is take just a couple of minutes. And we don't always do this on Sundays when we have worship, but I'd love to just take a few moments to see if there's any prayer concerns or anything like that we can pray about. And then, yeah, when we close in prayer, we can go ahead and do that. So, but we do want to share just April 27th is our Widows and Widowers Banquet. So this is a free event open to the community where we just basically provide a dinner for any and all widows or widowers in our community. Then after that, we'll bring them in here. We'll have a time of music and worship together. And so again, April 27th, 5 p.m. is the time on that. It goes to about 7. And so don't want to miss out on that. If you want to serve as a part of that, when we are doing the dinner for all of our guests, we serve them, we wait on them. And so you can have a hand in that. You can sign up at the Welcome Center if you would like to help either with the serving or even in the kitchen with helping getting the food ready and stuff like that. Not cooking the food, but kind of getting the servings up and everything to go for that. You can sign up at the Welcome Center again. If you have any questions, you can see either Kelsey, myself. Barb Harmon is actually leading this for us. She's been overseeing this for a couple of years. She is actually down in Florida for a couple of weeks helping a friend with some things. And so she will not be with us probably next Sunday as well. But again, if you have any questions on that, when she does get back, you can talk to her. If you'd like to help with the musical part of it, we'll have lots of specials and all kinds of things going on. You can see Renee Corbett. She's overseeing that for us as well. Also want to let you know about Grief Share. Mentioned this morning. This is starting up Monday, April 1st, a 13-week session. And so this is for anyone that is battling with grief. It could be the loss of a child, loss of a parent, loss of a family member or friend. Anyone at any level that's battling with grief, we would love to come alongside them and encourage them and support them. And Julie and Julie Johnson and Lynn Atwell take care of that for us and kind of facilitate those times of discussion. And so again, that's starting up April 1st. No cost on that. But if you can... I believe they do need to let you guys know by they can go on and register online, right?
Register online, but they don't count.
Okay. They can just show up. Okay. So if you like know somebody that's going to register, that's great. If not, you can just have them show up as well. And again, not going to share too many details, but we have been praying for a specific thing about this ministry for, oh goodness, months. And the Lord may be answering that in a very, very cool way. So we're excited for that. But God is really blessing this ministry. And I'm excited to see how the Lord continues to lead in this ministry, in the community, and in our church. And so Dinner for Six is going on. So don't miss out on that. Saturday, March 16th. That's this coming Saturday. So tomorrow, most likely Tuesday, we'll go ahead and pull that sign-up sheet and start breaking the groups up and everything. And then you'll be kind of called by your host to tell you where to go and if you need to bring anything and all that stuff. So if you want to get to know some people in the church, this is a great way to do it. Men's and ladies' Bible studies are starting up. We talked about that this morning, so definitely want to encourage you guys to sign up for that if you haven't already. And then also Good Friday service is coming up and Easter service as well. Often we'll get asked, like, what are we doing for Easter? Are we doing anything special? We have in the past done different things. Last so many years, really what we want to do is just have our time of worship like we normally would have. And because I feel like sometimes what happens at churches on Easter is sometimes churches go a little bit above and beyond, and they try to kind of, you know, have a big performance and things like that and plays and all that, which is fine. But then sometimes I think if you have somebody that visits your church on Easter and they come back the next week, they're like, wow, this is totally different than last week. Where's all the big stuff and everything? So we kind of felt like we want to just kind of have church as normal, and that way people kind of see how we normally have church. And so if you want to invite anyone out, we definitely encourage you to do that. I know sometimes people kind of poke fun at the Christmas Easter group that come out to church only at Christmas and Easter. I look at it like if our culture emphasizes those two times of getting people in the church, I love that. And so if somebody's only going to come to Easter and Christmas, then encourage them to come out this Easter and let it be a blessing to them. So that's all of the announcements I have for this evening. I do want to let you know we'll be sharing next week on Sunday morning a little bit more about this. But if you missed out on our Voice of the Martyrs event, I'm going to look into it a little bit more. That's why I don't want to give too many details just right now. But I do believe, and I'll have information again next week, if you miss that, you can stream that or watch that in home. And there is a way to log in and do that up until, I believe, the end of May. So I will be giving more information on that if you missed out on May. But I'll double check all that and give you the information on Sunday. All right? So we'll let you know more about that. Any questions or comments about any upcoming events, activities, anything like that? All right. Well, I know we already opened in prayer, but I would love to just kind of felt led of the Lord to just kind of open it up. If somebody has a prayer request or a praise they'd like to share, I'd love to just take a couple of those, and then we'll pray and then get into our devotion for this evening. So does anyone have a prayer request or a praise that we can be praying for or praising the Lord for this evening? Danielle. Sure. Okay, so what's the last name of the family? Reef? Okay, so be praying for the Reef family in the loss of Dana, okay, and then for obviously the children involved and having young ones and not getting to spend time with grandkids can be very, very difficult for everyone involved. So be praying for the family on that for sure, for the Reef family, just with the passing and everything, and for the family as they walk through that together. Anyone else, a prayer request or a praise? Yes, Avi. Sure.
This last week, on a whim, I just love Maxie Moss because, like, on your whims are not as strong as you.
Right, right, yeah, right? Yeah.
So, in his sovereignty, using my whim to post on Facebook, like, hey, free furniture, come get it, kind of thing. And so I just opened up, and, like, people actually showed up.
Mm.
You know, and then she'd be like, oh, is it, can I have this dish? Like, it was a dish without a lid. Like, yeah. You know, like, just little things were such a treasure to her. And it was just, at the end of the day, she was just like, oh, it was like a shopping spree today. And I was like, yeah, I'm convicted because, like, you take so much for granted. Like,
sure.
My stuff I don't want was such a treasure to her.
Yeah.
So it's just, but anyway, but, and so, and then Trent is going to be listing the house.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. There's
yeah. Amen. Well, and what a praise that the Lord laid that on your heart, and that that was a blessing to people in need of furniture, different things, and a blessing to this woman. And yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord for how he moves in those ways that we don't even know.
Yeah, and the one main person that took the furniture, I'm going to invite him to church.
Oh, amen. Okay.
No, sorry, Doug. Not Craig, it's Doug.
Doug, okay.
Yes, Doug. And I don't even know his last name, but if
Okay. Yeah. Now, did you say he needed beds for his children? Is that still a need that you know of?
No, not
oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to hear that. So, but let's be praying for Doug, that he will respond favorably to the invitation and that the Lord will work in his heart. Absolutely. And then for Avi, as the house gets posted and all the stuff that goes into that, that the Lord will just be with that and it'll be in a timely manner. That's what we'll say. Yeah, absolutely. Sandra. Yes.
So we had first through third grade with me, and then Caleb Hill has taken the bus.
Yeah.
But operated. It's nice to, just have the age group separated, and I guess just a praise or a prayer request that we just be able to keep working out the kinks of that and the difference how from what we've been doing. But also, I really feel like it. It'd probably be, as hard as it would be for me to give it up, I feel like it would be great to have another teacher
yes.
come in and take my place
yep.
For that group. So just keep praying for a first through third grade teacher
mm-hmm.
that could take junior church.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be tough for Sandra to give up, I'm sure. But if you guys don't know, Sandra also oversees our Word of Life ministry here as well on Wednesday nights and kind of floats around and does whatever's needed there as well. So if we had someone that could step in and take that lead teacher role in the first through third grade in junior church, that would be a huge, huge praise. But yes, so this is the second week, in case you missed it, second week that we have split our junior church. It was all first through sixth grade in one room. And then this is the second week we split that. Again, fourth, fifth, and sixth are with Caleb. They meet together, do all their music and stuff, and then I think they divide up after that for their lesson time. And it's really been seemingly impactful for the different age groups to be able to teach to that age group. If you've ever worked with kids, teaching a first grader and a sixth grader in the same room is not easy because you're going to bore one and talk over the head of the other or the other way around, right? So, so again, it's a huge praise, huge praise. It's something we've been working on for a while. Yes. Yeah, definitely helpful to the older ones. Yeah, because the sixth graders are like, oh, this is so boring or so lame or whatever, you know, so because they're big time sixth graders now. But no, just a huge, huge praise because we've been praying about that for, oh my goodness, probably years if we're being honest. So, yeah, Caleb does a great job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Caleb helps on Wednesday nights too. He's a small group leader. And so, oh, okay, yeah. So just amazing to see how the Lord's opened that door. It's just really, really cool to see because it sounds like the Lord was working on his heart for a couple years and he was kind of resistant. And it sounds like at a previous church he taught in children's ministry and then they were kind of here for a while and he kind of said, he's like, I've known for a couple years I should be teaching, but I just kept saying, I don't have the time, I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. And then he realized, okay, Lord, I just got to stop fighting this and just do it. So, which again, when we go with the Lord's leading, it's always going to be better, right? Any other prayer requests or praises? Kelsey.
Mm-hmm. Last appointment, and he'll probably get the go-ahead to go back to work.
Okay.
So his first trip then is the 20th, and he's been home for 9 or 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's been really nice. So it's just a praise that we got to have the time together, but then also just prayers for when everything goes back
the adjustment back to normal.
And
yeah.
Him to have the endurance to go back to work and listen to his body and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and I talked to David a while ago. He seems like he's very much wanting to get back to work and everything. So it's a praise that if that's the Lord's will, that that's the news he'll receive on Thursday, right? So let's be praying for David's appointment on Thursday, that he'll be able to get the green light to go back to work. So be praying for that and for the channels as they kind of readjust back to normal. Anyone else? Prayer request or a praise? I mentioned it this morning, or about our opening prayer about this morning. Just a huge praise for Dale and Britt joining the church this morning. It's really exciting to see someone baptized, this gentleman baptized last week, and then him join this week. That was just really cool to see that. It's not very often you see it that close together, so that was a huge praise that the Lord laid that on his heart to do that. And so we're so service today just about how thankful he is for the church, how much they just feel so welcomed here, and just all of that. They just were really, really encouraged by what the Lord is doing through his word and through the church. And he just couldn't stop talking enough about that. So, which is amazing in just a couple of months, how the Lord's used us to help them in their walk with Christ and come alongside them. So, but anyone else before we pray? Pastor Keith. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. So, and I was amazed when she said that she received basically what she needed, and then she opened an envelope, right? And then here's some more. And yeah, so huge praise, huge praise. So thank you to the church for that. Let's keep praying for Abby, praying the Lord to continue to work in her heart as she prepare her for what she's going to be doing this summer. If you didn't grab one already, and we don't need to do the financial part of it now, praise the Lord, but there are cards at the Welcome Center. Grab one of those if you haven't already as a prayer card and be praying for her, praying for the group and all that they're doing and moving forward and stuff. So absolutely, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. And she just sent out letters, right, to family. Yeah. Yeah, so who knows what the Lord's going to do with those? I mean, I get twice as much as what she needed, so... Yeah. She's just saving up for the next mission trip in 4 years. Yeah. So, but no, praise the Lord for that. Absolutely. Amen. Love hearing that. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? Praise for yesterday's game day going so well. You guys had three first-time visitors? Two? Okay. Yeah. So that's a huge praise. Absolutely. Amen. And no one was injured, as far as you know? Yeah, if it wasn't told to you, then it doesn't count. Like, that, once they leave the property, that's out of your hands. All right, well, let's go ahead and, I know we already prayed, but I would love to just pray again and ask the Lord to just be with these requests and these praises and lift them up to the Lord. Father, we thank you for, again, just this time we could gather and to just be the church, Lord, tonight and to share these things. And Lord, I know that sometimes we can go days without pausing to reflect over your goodness to us, over your blessings around us and in our lives. And Lord, also take time to pray for others and to lift up the needs of others. Lord, I was reminded this week, Lord, that one of the greatest gifts that we have as followers of Christ, not only is that we can pray for ourselves and what we're going through, but we can intercede for others. We can lift up the needs of others and bring those before you as well, even if they don't know Christ. And so thank you, Lord, for this gift that we have, that we can spend time praying for our needs and wants, which is absolutely fine and encouraged in your word, that we should come to you as our Father and lay before you our desires, our hearts cry, Lord, but we can also lift up the needs of others. And so, Father, we do. We lift up at this time right now, Lord, we think of Doug, Lord, not knowing. I don't know him, Lord. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he's gone through in his life. And it sounds like he's running some difficult times. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would just use Abby's kindness, use her testimony, and Lord, to impact him and to help him to see his need for you if he doesn't know you already, Father, and if he is invited to Easter and is able to come, Lord, and I just pray that you would use that time to, Lord, again, either draw him to Christ, or if he knows Christ but maybe just drifted, Lord, that you would spark that faith in him again and just ignite that anew in him, Lord, that he would just have a hunger and passion for you and a desire to walk in righteousness, and his family, Lord. It sounds like he has children and some others involved in his family, that I just pray you'd use him and work through him and to bring those others in his family to Christ. Lord, we just stop and praise you for all that you're doing in our midst. And Lord, this church isn't better than any other church, but it's your church. And so we're going to praise you for what you're doing here. And Father, we think about the junior church, Lord, literally been praying for years for that to take place. And we're seeing it happen, Lord. And so we want to pause and praise you for that. We thank you for the men of the church that Lord, we know in the past men have stepped up and served in many, many ways, but we're so thankful for this time where men are stepping up and stepping into service roles and following you, Lord, from working with the kids into this last prayer breakfast, having 36 guys, Lord, at prayer breakfast. What a praise. And Lord, so we just thank you for the men of our church stepping up and leading. Father, we just thank you for our kids' ministry, Lord, that you allow us to partner with mom and dads and grandma and grandpas and to walk with them and say, instruct their children in the Lord. What a blessing it is to our church to have that privilege, Lord, to do that. And Father, we praise you for those that were baptized last week. We think of Augustine, Lord, just a young kid, Lord, but making that decision to be baptized as in believer's baptism, Lord. And we thank you for Dale, again, an older gentleman, but desiring to make right what needed to happen, Lord. A lot of people at his age would not really think much about that, would kind of just go with the flow and do what they've always done. But he made a decision that he needed to do that. And so we thank you for that. And Father, we praise you for them joining the church this morning, for the impact that our church has had over them. And Father, for the impact they've already had on us. And so we praise you for that. Father, we lift up David Channel right now, Lord. We pray that you'd be with this doctor's appointment, that you'd give the doctor, you would be with that adjustment period, Lord. Getting back to normal after this many weeks, Lord, can be difficult. And so I pray you'd give wisdom and guidance and comfort and all those things, Lord. Help him to ease back into this, Lord, that his body would be able to handle it, Lord, but also that he would have wisdom to listen to his body and adjust where he needs to and not have maybe unrealistic expectations, Lord, but to take it slow and to be patient. And Father, we thank you again for just this place that we can gather to worship you, Father. You're so good to us, and the way you work in all these things is such a praise. Father, we lift up Avi right now, Lord, with the selling of her house. Lord, we pray you'd be with Trenton as he works with her, Lord, and try to get this house sold. We pray that in a timely manner it would be done according to your will. And Lord, thank you for the blessing of the furniture to those that were able to receive it. Lord, just thank you for using even simple acts of kindness to be a light of the gospel. Father, we praise you for the youth event yesterday with the teens. We thank you for just the students that were here, Lord. We thank you for the visitors and the one return visitor, Lord. We pray that you would just continue to just grow that youth ministry, not numerically only, Lord, but spiritually, that this generation would grow deep into the Word of God and that you would just use them in their schools, in their families, in their communities, Lord, right where they are, at the age that they are, Lord. And so, Father, again, thank you for our students, their hunger for you, their desire to serve. We have so many teens that serve in ministry here, and it's such a blessing to see that. And so, Father, thank you for them. And Father, we do. We praise you for Abby and just this huge praise of you bringing about the funds. And Lord, as we said this morning talking with her, that when you call us into something, when you call us to step out, whether it be a mission trip or whatever it might be, you will equip what we need. And Lord, we don't always know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. It's going to look different than we thought. But Lord, she made a decision to step up and to step out. And you took care of all the needs above and beyond. Lord, you provided more than what she needed. And how you're going to use that, the rest of the money that's going to come in, Lord, just for your glory. And just, all this is being done. And so we pray for this group that's going to Paris in the summer. We pray for open hearts and minds. We pray right now, Lord, that those that they're going to talk to, that they're going to interact with, will be ready. That their hearts would be tilled up soil, ready to receive the seed of your word. And that they would be saved and come to know Christ. And Lord, how amazing would it be at the Paris Olympics that you start a revival in that nation and in the world around us. And Lord, again, so you can do all these things. We give you all the praise, and we also trust that you are trustworthy. And so, Lord, again, we just look to you in all these areas. Father, again, be with our time in your word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, thank you guys so much for praying with us and praying together. I think it's important to do that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And so Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to be talking through, again, we've been going through this curriculum now that we've been using for a few weeks. And this is a resource. It's actually more of like a Sunday school material, but we're kind of adapting it for our purposes on Sunday evening. And the idea tonight in this whole series has been having confidence in the face of hard questions. And so this kind of ties in with the study from last week that we finished up. And the idea of this week's study or question, because the idea is having confidence in the face of hard questions, is won't all people ultimately go to heaven? Won't all people ultimately go to heaven? Now, this ties in really, really well with what we said last time, that we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so in that conversation with those in our world today, you might have many who think, well, isn't God love, and isn't, since God's loving, everyone will ultimately go to heaven whether they know it or not. They're just going to end up there. And so this, again, kind of ties in with what we talked about last week, but I want to look at Jesus's words in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read here just the first few verses. So real quick, kind of give you a little background here about why this was brought up in the study. When this study was written, so I'm not sure, it's probably been within the last year or so, they quote this research. It says, the majority of Americans, 83%, believe there is an afterlife. So that's pretty impressive. 83% of Americans believe, there, people we talk to believe there's something. What it is and how to get there, there's debate about, but they believe there's something. Religions and philosophies may differ on how that afterlife is defined, but most, roughly 74% of Americans, believe in heaven. So isn't this amazing? 83% believe there's something. Over 70% of Americans believe there is a heaven. And they would tell you that, yeah, I believe there's a heaven. So they're familiar with these terms. Another study shows that 40% of Americans believe that everyone, regardless of what they believe or do, will be ultimately saved and accepted by God. That belief gives a false sense of comfort because it doesn't line up with what the Bible teaches. But think about that. 40% of Americans think that no matter what you do or what you believe or whatever, you're going to end up in heaven. Now, I think this is for a lot of reasons. Some of it is false teachers, which we're going to dive into a little bit here. Some of it is the cultural desire just that we hope that we'll get in, right? Like we ultimately think, what, we're not really that bad. So like maybe not everyone, but I know at least some people get in. And so there's this desire to be accepted by God, which I also think is kind of interesting. That all of humanity really wants to be accepted by their God, whatever they've made their God to be, but they desire that. And I think that's important because that shows us that God has created us with that desire to be with him and be accepted by him. And I think that's in us because God wants us to seek him. What's the problem? Sin, brokenness, right? The sin nature in us. So we know the truth, but Romans 1 says we what? We suppress the truth and unrighteousness. I know there's a creator, but I don't want to follow that creator. I want to follow my own version of that creator. And so here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23, which is going to kind of be our main text, we find ourselves in the midst of what message? What do we call this portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 7? What's it part of? It's part of a greater message or a greater sermon. Yeah, it's a Sermon on the Mount, right? So the Sermon on the Mount starts in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and goes all the way to the end of chapter 7. Okay, so chapter 7, verse 29. And so it starts in 5:1, goes to Matthew 7, 29. It's the longest sermon we have of Jesus in Scripture, and it's also one of the most impactful. I mean, in this one message, Jesus covers almost every area of life that you can think about, or parts of life, right? I mean, he talks about everything from marriage, divorce, remarriage, giving, praying, right? Sacrificing, fasting, right? How do we treat others, love our neighbor? All these kind of things are in one sermon. But here also we find that Jesus gives very specific kind of descriptions of two different paths or two different roads. So he gives here different situations, each involving contrasting choices and results. So in chapter 7, or verses, or chapters 5 through 7, excuse me, we see that Jesus gives many different ideas of contrasting choices. So we see two gates and two roads. We see true and false prophets. We see true and false disciples. And we see wise and foolish builders. Do you see the contrast? How about you? Well, what comes to mind? There's another Old Testament book that comes to my mind when I think about these contrasts. True and false prophets, true and false disciples, wise and foolish builders. That specifically draws my attention to an Old Testament book that gives kind of this constant compare and contrast between the wise and the foolish. It's the book of Proverbs. Right? Proverbs is constantly saying, here's what the foolish do, here's what the wise do, here's what the righteous do, here's what the wicked do. And it says back and forth, back and forth. And so I love that Jesus, with a similar type of a style, brings that into the Sermon on the Mount. Now remember, Jesus is the greatest teacher, right? There's no greater teacher we will ever hear of or read of than what Jesus did. And he used every form of teaching to help us understand truth. The author of this study shares this, and I thought this was good. He says this, as a coach, I've seen a massive pendulum swing when it comes to winning and losing. So he's saying as a coach, he's experienced this. He says, today, kids' sports are played with no winners and losers. No matter what, everyone gets a participation trophy and no one gets cut from the team. Now, this isn't always true, right? There are still sports and schools and things like that where they do this. But he's saying in a general sense, this mindset is out there is what he's kind of saying. He says that may be the easiest route, but it's not necessarily the best. He says there are winners and losers in the game and not everyone will make the cuts. So similarly, society has become convinced that no matter how a person lives, they'll be given a golden ticket that allows them to go to heaven automatically. This belief doesn't line up with what the Bible teaches. In this case, the easy path is most definitely not the best path. So the easy path is do whatever you want, live however you want, believe whatever you want, and you'll go to heaven when you die. That's not the best path because that's not true to Scripture. So I want to dive into our text. So I need somebody to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Who'd like to read that for us? Avi, awesome, thank you. All right, thank you, ma'am. So here we find a very simple truth. What is the truth? Most people will not go to heaven. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Who find the path? Who find the narrow road? The few find the narrow path. Who finds the way of destruction? How many find the way of destruction? Many. So Jesus is comparing here. There's few and there's many. Now, we're not saying few maybe in a number that we would think is a small number, right? Because you got to think from the time of Christ to now, there's been lots of people that have been saved. Like as far as the number that we would think of. I don't even know what the number would be. I wouldn't even try to guess. But what Jesus is saying is in among humanity, the vast majority of humans will not actually go to heaven. Jesus describes two roads in this passage. One leads to heaven and the other to a way of destruction. What do we call that place? Hell, right? Now, even among Christians today, what is the one of the words that they will not use when sharing Christ? Hell. So the destination that you're trying to encourage them to avoid by receiving Christ and forgiveness of sins, most Christians, when they're sharing Jesus, won't even mention hell. Another word that most Christians won't use is the word sin. Where do we usually start when we're sharing Christ in our church culture today, in America today? Where do we usually start? Okay, that's one part of it. Yeah, Jesus will fix all the things that are wrong with your life, right? If you are sick or broke or poor or whatever, Jesus will fix all that. If you're in a bad relationship, Jesus will fix your whole life up, okay? So kind of that idea of making the gospel appealing because it's going to practically fix things that's wrong. Where else do we start as American Christians in sharing the gospel? Yeah, God's love, right? Now, we talked about the love of God this morning at pretty good lengths, right? And what did we say? What does Romans 5:8 make abundantly clear to us? At our absolute worst, God loved you. Romans 5:8, he demonstrates his love towards us. He manifests it in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why does he do that? Because he loves you. He's not motivated by anything other than his great love for you. God loves you, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, his creation. Jesus loves you. He tells us that in the Gospels, right? And we see that, I believe, the Spirit loves us in Ephesians 1 because he seals us, right? So I see the Trinity loving us and having a desire to express that love to us. The love of God is vastly important. He loves you, and if you get saved, you'll experience that love at a greater level, Romans 8. Is that a true statement? Of course it is. When you got saved, you experienced more of God's love than before you got saved, right? The love of God in a general sense, you saw the common goodness of God, right? When you have a child with or without Christ, that's a blessing, that's a miracle, and you can see the goodness of God in that. When God does something in your life, because he's just showing you common grace, you step back and go, man, that's amazing that this happened. You attribute it to coincidence or whatever else, but that's just the goodness of God on display, right? The just, or the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But then you receive Christ, and now what happens is that love of God becomes more what? Intimate. Now it's not this conceptual love of God that you guys talk about. Now I'm experiencing it. And there's great joy and peace and all those things. But the problem is it's not just the love of God that we need to dwell on. In fact, if you read even in the early church letters, the book of Acts, where did the apostles or the disciples, where did they usually start with their evangelism? What usually drew, like kind of drove their evangelism? Where would they usually start when their emphasis on the need for Christ? Yeah, so a big word is repentance, right? So what are we repenting from? And we're turning from sin to Christ. So we're leaving our old way of living and turning to Christ. And if we choose not to do that, what's going to happen? We'll die in our sins and be cast into hell. Jesus spoke about that. John chapter 3, verses 18 or 17 and 18 talk about that reality. You're condemned already, right? Romans talks about the day of wrath. And so again, we want to focus on that love of God, but ultimately it's the word repentance that we see most of the disciples and the apostles using. And it's driven by the love of God, but we have to talk about things like sin. We have to talk about things like hell and, you know, the idea that our sin has a consequence. But there's even churches that gather and will not in a sermon even think about mentioning the word hell. In fact, it's probably forbidden. They're probably told, don't mention these four words. One of the other words that we don't really talk about in a lot of modern churches today or churches in America today is the word, the blood of Christ, or the phrase, the blood of Christ. Now, that's weird. That's gross. I mentioned to you before that a church growth guru, I'm forgetting his name right now, very, very popular, has interviewed tons of people, literally says, as an example of things we should stop saying in church and referring to the blood of Christ, because that will turn off the unsaved or the unchurched. They won't understand that it's gross, it's weird, and they'll leave. He actually uses it in a reference to talking about like saying amen as well. We shouldn't say amen as Christians because that's weird in our culture today. So again, what are we doing? We're trying to create a church that's more appealing to the sinner. And we'll draw in the sinner and make them so comfortable that we'll almost kind of sneak attack them with some form of a gospel, but maybe not the full gospel. I heard one speaker, pastor, his name just left me, very popular pastor. Anyway, I'll think of it tonight at like 2 a.m. I'll wake up with his name on my mind. So Sandra will know at 2 a.m. when I'm jabbing her, like, wake up, I got to tell you who this is. But he was talking about the church. And he was saying that a lot of times what people have done with the church, the bride of Christ, is we're basically, and I'll use this word, so give me some leniency here, that leaders of the churches are prostituting the church to the world. And his example is that, you know, how would you feel if you found out your daughter was being dolled up, made up, wearing inappropriate clothing, all this kind of stuff to appeal to worldly men in the flesh so that she would get their attention. And then he uses that, and he went in a way more in depth than I will, but basically he used that illustration to say, that's exactly what we're doing with the church today, try to appeal to worldly men and women to come in. But that's not the bride of Christ. How did the disciples, how did the apostles present the gospel? By telling the truth. Look, the reality is, if you don't receive Christ, you will burn in your sin in hell forever. Change how we live. Believe that or we don't. We said this last time. If we truly believe Jesus is the only way, it will change how we live our lives and how we share the gospel. Again, yes, God loves us and it provided for us a way of salvation, but that is not the foundation of all that he did for us. It's the love of God, but it's also that sacrifice of Christ. It's that beauty of Christ coming and being our sacrifice so that the will of God is done, the justice of God is performed, right? The holiness of God remains intact. And so it's all of that. And so again, Jesus is very, very clear. He told us that the broad gates will eventually lead to destruction, hell, separation from Christ. So the broad gate may be the most popular, it may be the easiest, but it's not the road anyone should choose. Far too many people want to take the easy road. Jesus told us that the narrow road is the road we want to choose. Yes, it's more difficult, and not many people will choose it, but it's the right road. It's the only road that leads to heaven. So when we receive Christ, we're on this narrow road. And what happens when we're on that narrow road? We realize very quickly that not many are with us. We look around our world and we go, man, there's a lot of people going the other way. And so a question in the note or in the curriculum here that I want to lay forth is two questions, actually. So why do you think so many people take the wide road that doesn't lead to heaven? And the second question would be, why would anyone follow Jesus if the road is so difficult? So the first question, why do you think so many people take the wide road that doesn't lead to heaven? Now we know, again, simple answer, we're fallen, we're in our sin, Romans 1. But practically, why do you think people take the wide road that doesn't lead to heaven? Avi.
Yeah, I mean, I love that part of the quote. I say it all the time, but many dead fish can't float down the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just think it's like, there's such a lack, such a famine in America for pastors that teach the word of God.
Hmm. Is that halftime show thing some church did?
Yeah.
I saw clips of it. I didn't really watch much about it, but.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. And so just that kind of stuff, like entertainment, and like you're saying, there's like, you know, and so like even the people you do get them to go to church, they're not hearing the gospel, they're watching because you kick the Bible across the stage.
Right, yeah.
You know, so, and like, how are they going to get down the narrow road? Because they're not even hearing about the road.
Okay. Sure,
right.
Sure.
And so, like, there was this continuity of everything.
From your church community to your worldly community, if you will.
Like, people don't even know, like, anything about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just this illiteracy where people just don't know.
Right.
The Christian church in America is not doing anybody any favors by taking Bibles across stages.
Yeah. So, I love that. So, a couple things. So, number one, the Bible illiteracy of just our, not only our culture, but our church culture, right? Just not knowing the Word of God. And then also not sharing the full truth of the Word of God. Absolutely. I love what you said there. When you do finally get someone to come through the doors of the church, and you finally get them to come and sit down, and then they hear no gospel, or it's a half gospel, right? And I think it was Ray Comfort years ago that he did a sermon called Hell's Best Kept Secret. And he talked about this idea that he went to do a rally or a sermon at a church that was doing like some kind of a conference. And before that, he got up to preach or whatever, the pastor said, how many do you think will have saved tonight? And Ray Comfort kind of paused and was like, what? And the guy said again, like, how many do you think will have come tonight? Because he had heard that, you know, Ray Comfort was this big time preacher and he was going to come and man, all these people are going to get saved and all this stuff. And Ray just looked at him and said, well, how many do you want? And the guy's like, what? And he said, well, if we have the right music and the right atmosphere and I can do a lot of things to get people to come to an altar and say some words, how many do you want me? 10, 20, 30? I can do that. He's like, but if you're asking me true conversions of people who actually confess Christ as Lord, I have no idea. That's not my job. And so to me, that's what it is. We have to be giving the Word of God and communicating the gospel so that God can work. Some will be saved. Some will not be. I always think about the rich young ruler. The greatest evangelist, Jesus Christ, directly communicated with this young man, and he walked away sad. So if the Apostle Paul, greatest missionary, not everyone believed. They mocked and ridiculed and left in unbelief. So if that happened to Jesus and Paul, then when we share the gospel, some will believe and some will not. And that's not our decision to make or make someone get saved. We just share the gospel, right? And let God deal with that. And that individual's heart has to respond that way. Because again, I love that Jesus knew fully that that man would walk away sad. Jesus was not surprised the man didn't believe. But yet he took the time to explain the gospel to him. To explain what it meant to have faith. And so again, we learn from that. So why do you think so many people take the wide road that doesn't lead to heaven? Any other thoughts on that before we move to the second question? Danielle. Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yes. Yep. So yeah, a couple things there, right? Like, first of all, that's teenagers, right? When we're young, we kind of think, I don't want to think about down the road. Or I got my whole life ahead of me. I'm invincible. I'm immortal. Well, maybe immoral too. I don't know. But working with teenagers, standing around all the time, we'd have to have these conversations and kids are like, That's never going to happen to me, right? No, that's so far down the road. So some of that immaturity, but also I love their honesty to say, yeah, I just don't want to know that because if I know that, now I have to respond and either make a choice or whatever. I don't want to do that, so I just want to be ignorant of that. Second question, quickly. Why would anyone follow Jesus if the road is so difficult? Because it is difficult to be a Christian in our world today. So why then would anyone follow, or why would anyone follow Jesus if the road is so difficult? Avi.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Where else would we go? Yeah. Which is amazing because he said it to him after all the people left. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you guys going to leave too? And yeah, Peter says, oh no, where would we go? You have the words of life. And then denied Jesus three times in one night. But again, what was his heart's cry? His heart cry was, I want to be with you, but we don't always do that perfectly, right? So praise God for grace even in that. Sandra?
Well, because what's offered at the end far outweighs anything you could ever go, think of that would be bad.
Right. So the difficulty now is made less because of what we're receiving in Christ at the end. Yeah, that's a great point. Absolutely. Anyone else? Danielle. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yeah, so we're all going to go through difficulties. We live in a fallen world. And so why not go through those things with the God that can comfort us and guide us and give us that peace? Because we're going to go through it anyway. And we talked about that a little bit even in our Job. When we were in this study going through Job and talking about those difficulties of life that we all go through them. But we don't go through them alone, right, in Christ. So absolutely. Any other thoughts on that before we're going to kind of pause here. We're out of time. But Pastor Greg. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. The difficulties don't make us, doesn't deter us in our pursuit of Christ if we really know Christ, right? I think David Platt said it best years ago. He said it, the follow me that Jesus calls us to, the more we know the me, the easier it is to understand why we follow, right? Like follow me is a call to the early church, other believers, and we struggle with that. Like, could I really follow Christ? But the more we know the me, the follow becomes really easy. Now, saying all that, we honestly understand that our level of difficulty walking this road for Christ in this country, in this community, in this area, pales in comparison to our brothers and sisters overseas or in even different parts of the world that are battling literally for their lives to gather together. And one thing that really jumped out to me in our Voice of the Martyrs event on Friday night, when I came back to this question, because I wrote this earlier in the week, and I was thinking about that today, and I was just thinking that phrase, why would anyone follow Jesus if the road is so difficult? And I think for us in America, like, we hear the word difficult, and we think of one thing. types of situations. Our brothers and sisters overseas, they think of difficult in a whole different level. And this one individual, he was arrested and put in prison for his faith. But his ministry was he literally traveled around. This was in Sudan. He traveled around to Christians and churches and pastors. And his ministry was to help them be prepared for when persecution came. And so his ministry was he would go to a church and help them to prepare themselves for when they came to arrest those Christians or burn their church down or imprison them or take their pastor captive. Like, that was his ministry. And he did this and traveling around doing this. And then the Lord allowed him to be imprisoned, captured, and put in prison. And so to me, I think about that when I read the word difficult. My mind goes to difficult in that, okay, maybe it's not going to be as easy for us in this country. That's a different difficult. I can't even imagine that. And yet every one of these individuals on Friday night shared the same thing, that they just knew God was with them. And so going back to Danielle's point, they just knew the Lord was with them. One individual, literally, they wrote worship songs while in prison and were singing these songs and praising God in the midst of being in a jail cell, only because they were Christian, only because they happened to be in Afghanistan when everything kind of kicked off before 9/11. And so again, it's just amazing to me to think about. We read this word difficult and we think, oh yeah, you know, it's not that hard to walk with Jesus. I don't think we understand that word. And I think the more we walk with Christ, we'll have different experiences in different situations. But I think what we've said tonight is so true. When we know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and how Jesus has loved us and cared for us and died for us, then man, we should be able to walk through anything for him because he's the one giving us the strength to do it, right? And we understand that that's the least I can do. By the way, I love that Paul says our bodies or our lives are meant to be a living sacrifice. We think, oh, that means I just give God everything today. I always look at that to mean that, no, that means every day of my life is sacrificially giving to him until I lose my life, however that might be. And so again, we read this word difficult, and I just want to encourage you guys, maybe seeking the Lord this week about how he's going to lead you through your daily life, but don't forget those that are experiencing difficulties we can't even imagine. At Hebrews, we're going to talk about this more on Sunday. Hebrews says that we remember those who are in chains as though we're in chains with them. And so let's do that this week. Let's be lifting them up in prayer. Let's do this. We're going to just, oh, go ahead, Abby, sorry. Yes, yes.
But I was thinking too, as far as the narrow road and the difficulty of that, which it's kind of an oxymoron, right? Because his burden is light.
Yes. Comparatively, yes.
But as far as, like, I think the fighting of the sin.
Yes. Yep.
But I mean, like, how, if you, like, really know that he hung on the cross for your sake, for everything you have to live your sacrifice for him. To become his own creation. Like, and right now, I'm sure we're all listening to all the things all over the radio with, you know, the crucifixion and the mock trial and the injustice of all of it. You know, and just thinking about him being spit on and just like, and she's so angry, like, what are you doing? And then, but he thinks, like, forgive them. And, you know, and you're just like, just the love that he had. It just is amazing. And then, but to know that he did it because of your sin.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
And I think that, you know, that is, I think what so much is lacking, like, it's just kind of, it's like, we want the blessings of God without God, is what I think a lot of people are seeking. They're seeking all of the benefits they can get from God, but they don't want the holy God, right? And I think that that's so much of what church can be about, which is not unreasonable in the sense of wanting the beautiful things from God.
Sure.
But they want it apart from it. And I think, like, just to acknowledge really of what you deserve, just to see his crucifixion and what he did for you, I can't understand how you could not. I mean, now, obviously, like you always say, which I do appreciate, that you're not going to do it perfectly.
Right, right. Strive to want those things, to want to walk with him. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for me, this time of year, we realize this more and more, right? With the crucifixion, with Good Friday, with Easter and all of that. And we think about what he went through for us. But then Hebrews says that he endured it with joy because of what this was going to accomplish, what this was going to produce, which is the salvation of his people, both Old Testament and New Testament. And so it's amazing to think about that. But I guess the answer is really the road's difficult, but it's worth it, right? And it goes back to like what Sandra was saying, like we know, Paul says this too, we know that if we experience, and Peter too actually, if we experience trials, fiery trials in this life, it pales in comparison to the joy that's waiting for us in the Lord. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, right? And so we know there's great beauty there. So, but let's pray and we'll let you guys be dismissed, but I pray you continue to dwell on these truths this week. Father, again, Lord, we come before you in prayer, and we know, Lord, that there is difficulty in this life to walk with Christ, and none of us walk with you perfectly, but we're so thankful for your grace and mercy to us. And Father, the difficulty comes both externally and inwardly. Lord, we battle against our enemy out in the world system. Satan wars against the church, Lord, to get us off track and to doubt God and the goodness of God and the character of God and all those things. Lord, our world tempts us into flesh and desires of the flesh, Lord, inward struggles of temptation towards the things of our flesh that would please our flesh, but Lord, ultimately tear down what you're doing in our lives and tear down who we really can be in Christ. And so, Lord, again, we battle against these things, and that's where that difficulty comes in. Again, we don't just enjoy and take part in whatever we feel we want to do, Lord. We are trying to do everything we can to please you and to honor you, Lord. Again, not to make you love us, but because you've loved us and because we've received you, we want to honor you and please you. And Lord, ultimately, when we walk with you and we walk through the difficult seasons and we battle those things, there's greater joy, there's greater peace, there's freedom in those things. And so Lord, again, help us to walk this road. Help us to be diligent. As Avi said, Lord, help us to fight with everything that's in us to walk with Christ. Lord, as Pastor Greg said, that so many in this world, for their own personal desires or career goals or whatever it might be, they will go through difficult things. They will fight through difficult things. They will give all they have to accomplish this goal or to reach this level. And Lord, when it comes to you, we should, at a greater level, with a greater desire, fight against the things that would war against us and fight to please you. And so Lord, help with joy. Lord, with a peace to know that we will one day see you and be like you. Others can walk the road that they choose to walk, Lord. Others will mock and ridicule. Others will walk against the flow and or with the flow and look at us who are walking against the flow and think that we're crazy and we're foolish and we're silly for believing such a thing. But Lord, at the end of our lives, we will stand before you, glorifying you. And so Lord, help us not to get discouraged or distracted, but to keep our eyes on you. I think that's why you say in Hebrews that we fixate our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Not on the crowd around us and what they're doing, but on you. And so, Father, again, be glorified in all this. Help us this week to see the opportunities to share the gospel with someone. Lord, again, which involves being true about sin, being true about the consequences of sin, but also speaking to the love of Christ, the cross, the burial and resurrection. Help us to share Christ this week with someone that they may come to know you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.